Thank you for joining us today on this podcast on trade finance compliance and specifically trade-based money laundering detection. To update us on this subject, I would like to welcome Colin Camp from Pelican. Pelican is a technology company specializing in providing artificial intelligence solutions to banks across the globe in the payments and financial crime compliance areas. Colin has extensive experience in assisting financial services companies across the globe to improve and bring cost efficiencies to their compliance and operational functions through the deployment of new technology. With 40 years of industry experience and over 25 years in Asia in various executive roles, he now heads up Pelican's business development and sales activities in the Asia-Pacific region. Thanks for joining us, Colin. Before we start, could you explain to us what is trade-based money laundering, or TBML as it's commonly referred to?
Thanks for inviting me, and it's a pleasure to be here. So put simply, TBML is a process by which criminals use a legitimate trade to disguise an illegitimate movement of funds, such as transfer of funds to avoid capital controls, financing terrorist activities, or other illegal activities such as drug, human, or wildlife trafficking. So money launderers are finding it harder and harder now to move cash through their normal payment channels due to the increased controls and the AML type screening tools that are now in place, and are now using trade transactions to hide their illicit transfers. So by creating fake deals to buy or sell goods at distorted prices, or by creating shell companies for the trade transaction, the launderers can now move money hidden behind a supposedly legitimate trade. So the Action Task Force, FATF, has stated that TBML is now one of the most prevalent money laundering methods used by criminals today. The US Department of Treasury, in its National Anti-Money Laundering Risk Assessment, stated that TBML can have the most destructive impact on legitimate commerce than any other form of money laundering activity. Another report also showed that 80% of all illicit financial flows from developing countries are now accomplished through trade-based money laundering. So it's absolutely definitely in the top three list of concerns for banks, compliance and risk officers and regulators across the globe.
Could you give us some information on the size in monetary terms of the problem?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's a huge issue. Recent reports put the number to around as much as $2.2 trillion per year, which is around 5% of the global GDP. And in addition to this, we've seen many instances recently of fraud committed against the banks in this area, which has resulted in big losses to those banks involved. So you can see it is a major issue, and banks and regulators are becoming more focused on this area.
That does sound like a major issue for banks. So how do the perpetrators commit these crimes?
Yeah, there are a number of techniques. The most common are under-invoicing. This is where the goods are bought and sold at a price below the real value. So this enables the exporter to transfer funds to the importer. Conversely, over-invoicing. This is where the goods are bought and sold at a price higher than their value. So this enables the importer to transfer funds to the exporter. We've seen instances of multiple invoices being issued for the same shipment, and therefore duplicate payments are made for those goods. We've seen instances of over and under shipment. This is where the size of or quantity of the goods are either overstated or understated relevant to the payment that's been made. False description of goods. This is where the quality and type of the goods that are shipped are better or worse than those being invoiced. I mean, these are some, and I could carry on with many, many, many more.
Okay, I understand what it is. So what impact does this have on the banks?
So as the banks are financing these trades, they're the ones who have access to all the information on the trade. They're the ones that receive all the documents. And therefore, regulators burden them to check to ensure that the trade is valid as part of their normal sort of compliance processes. So the onus is on the bank to check if the trade is valid or a suspect trade created to move illicit money across border.
So what do they need to do?
You know, this is an extremely complex task for the bank's operations and compliance teams, as they have to check an awful lot of information. Due to the nature of the global trade, most of this information is contained in various documents that are produced by the various parties during the life cycle of the trade chain. So as they receive these documents and information, they need to screen all of the entities in the trade, the trading partners, the counterparty to the customer, buyers, sellers, shippers, consignees, notifying parties, shipping agents, etc. And they need to screen them against the various different sanctions watch lists to check to see if there are any sanctioned entities that are on any watch list issued by any of the global regulators. They also need to check the nature of the goods traded and identify if any of those goods can be used for military or terrorism purposes. So these are goods called dual-use goods that could potentially be used for these purposes, or they could be used for innocent civil purposes or applications. So being able to identify these is extremely challenging just due to the complexity and technical nature of those goods. You also need to check the country of the origin of the goods, including did those goods originated from any sanctioned country, and whether that country would normally import or export those type of goods. Then they need to go on and check the details of the vessel that those goods have been imported or exported by. Now they need to check its flag history, the name of the name history of the vessel. They need to check the owners of the vessel, the commercial operator of the vessel. And they also need to check in the past where that vessel has been to check to see whether it's not hasn't any visited any sanctioned ports, etc. They also need to check the port of loading, the port of call, the port of discharge, and the trade routes proposed to be used to transport the goods. Then they need to verify the market prices of the goods, as I mentioned earlier on. Are the prices being bought or sold at a reasonable price, at a market price? And then following that, they also need to ensure, is this trade within the normal business practice of the buyer or the seller and the countries involved? So it's a very complex process and it can take some time.
That's a considerable amount of information.
Absolutely. And the challenge is that this information is contained in lots of different documents. A typical trade will involve around 10 to 15 different documents. These documents tend to be paper-based, unformatted, and as they are produced by different parties, are in different formats and can use different naming conventions like acronyms, abbreviations, etc. So it's estimated at any one time there are approximately 4 billion pages of paper-based documents currently circulating in documentary trade. So the bank staff, the compliance staff or the operations staff have to collect these documents and read them manually, check them against each other, and then potentially enter them into screening tools. So if we assume that it takes around 10 minutes per page to perform a document verification process, that works out to about 320,000 man years are being spent per year on this task alone. So you can see it's not only a complex task, it's also a time-intensive task and requires a high level of experience and knowledge. And many banks have teams and teams of people performing this task.
I can appreciate why this is such an onerous task for banks today, and I would imagine a costly one as well. So what is Pelican doing to help banks in this process?
Sure. So Pelican's been one of the innovators in the practical use of artificial intelligence into the financial industry. By using natural language processing, machine learning and knowledge-based systems, our solution can look at the payment and trade messages, files and documents and automatically read these formatted and unformatted text, undertake contextual analysis in order to check or repair or alert if any data is correct or needs analysing further. So we've been doing this for banks across the globe for around 25 years now. So for trade finance operations and compliance staff, they no longer need to manually read and interpret all these trade documents. All they need to do is scan the documents and then load them into Pelican, and then Pelican does the rest. The data is extracted automatically using OCR and NLP to achieve a very high level of accuracy. And then this data is screened against sanctions or embargo watch lists. The goods are checked to see if they're classified as dubious goods or therefore need to be investigated. And then we check to see if there's any other further sort of data points in any of the documents to indicate any compliance red flags that have been defined by the regulators or industry bodies. And because we use artificial intelligence and contextual analysis, that accuracy of our hits is very high, and the number of false positive alerts are substantially reduced. So bank staff only need to action when the alerts are created, and then they perform the investigative tasks, rather than all the manual tasks that they're currently doing. So this reduces the process to process a trade or a document from multiple hours and sometimes days down to a matter of minutes.
You mentioned some technical terms, NLP, etc. Can you give us more information on the technology that Pelican uses for this task?
Sure, yeah. So natural language processing, or NLP, that provides us with the ability to read documents, messages and files in the same way as a human being does. So it focuses on the semantic understanding of the text rather than the syntax of the text. And therefore, it can understand the context, and that ensures greater accuracy. Machine learning, that enables us to build behavior models to create profiles of the bank's business, the bank's clients, and the user interaction based on all the historical data. So this enables Pelican to identify if anything is outside of the norm. Knowledge-based systems is the intelligence of the solution and contains all the general and domain-specific knowledge in order to determine an action and an alert. And finally, OCR, or optical character recognition, this has been around for a number of years, and basically this technology extracts the data from images of documents. But the challenge of this technology is that the OCR just extracts text. It doesn't understand the context or the meaning of that text. And this is where, by adding NLP into the process, we achieve a much higher level of accuracy, almost up to the sort of high 90%.
That sounds very innovative. I'm sure it will help banks reduce their costs while increasing their compliance controls. It must be very important, especially now when banks are trying to overcome the challenges caused by the COVID pandemic.
Yes, this horrible period will definitely have an impact on the banking industry. It's highlighted that banks can no longer risk relying on having teams of people in their offices performing manual tasks, and the digitization programs need to be a much higher priority. The need to digitize and automate processes has never been greater than they are now. There has been and continues to be a lot of talk about deploying blockchain or DLT platforms for trade to replace the need for paper-based documents, with many great consortiums and solutions coming to market. However, until these platforms can be rolled out globally, linked together and used by all parties of the supply chain, paper-based documents will be with us. For most people, sort of senior trade people I speak to, I believe this is at least five years away, if not longer.
Thanks, Colin. This has been really interesting. So if any bank executives are listening in and want to know more about how they can engage Pelican in this process, what do they do?
Sure, that would be wonderful. They can go to our website, which is pelican.ai. They can contact any of our offices in Europe, North America, or Asia Pacific, or they can contact me on LinkedIn, and we'll be happy to discuss in more detail.
That's great. I really appreciate your time today to talk to us. Thank you.
Thank you for this opportunity.